And I'm going to share that with you before we have the testimonies. It's been 35 years since the people on the island of Cuba were given a unique window of opportunity to escape oppression and poverty under the rule of communist dictator Fidel Castro. In April 1980, the Cuban government permitted citizens to leave the country after 20 years of restricted travel and commerce with the United States. By October of that year, 125,000 nationals had escaped from Mariel Harbor in overcrowded, ill-equipped boats or whatever they could find that would float. The media was filled with pictures of Cuban refugees risking their lives in high seas to navigate the 90 miles to South Florida. This became known as the Mariel boat lift. You may remember that, those of you who are older. Those who survived the sea now face the challenge of survival in a foreign land, many without anything but the clothes they wore. In the following experiences, you will see that a much greater emotion overwhelmed them than their concern for their own survival. They were free, free at last. Maria Cabrera's father-in-law had chartered a boat from South Florida to transport her and her husband to freedom. But Cuban authorities filled the boat with other people, and her father-in-law had to depart without them. "We waited another week and a half," recalled Maria. "Our papers got lost. We didn't think they'd let us go." Her husband had lost his job with the government because his boss saw his father wearing clothing from the United States. Maria, who was 16 and training to be a teacher, worried that she'd be forced to teach communist propaganda. Finally, they were allowed to board another boat. Still, she remembers her first impressions of the new land. "The breeze was different," she said. "I could breathe at last. I remember when we stepped off the boat, they gave us sodas and apples." Apples and sodas later became symbols of freedom among many of the refugees. Today, another survivor, Miami-Dade County Judge Yvonne Cuesta, keeps a glass apple and a can of Coke in a display case in her chambers. Yvonne, who was 7 at the time, remembers that the overcrowded boat she and her mother boarded was in danger of sinking. The passengers were taken aboard a Coast Guard cutter. She still remembers dropping her doll as she climbed a ladder to the Coast Guard helicopter, waiting to ferry them to West Keys. She had never tasted either an apple or soda before arriving in Florida. She asked, "Mommy, what is this?" Her mother told her, "Hey, child, we are now free." When I think of the overwhelming joy and gratitude these refugees had, it reminds me of the freedom and joy I found when I accepted Jesus as my Savior. Luke 4:18 says, and this is Jesus talking, "The Spirit of the Lord is upon me, because he has anointed me to preach the gospel to the poor. He has sent me to heal the brokenhearted, to proclaim liberty to the captives, and recovery of sight to the blind, to set at liberty those who are oppressed." We have three testimonies today from women who have tasted of the freedom that Jesus Christ gives. Our testimonies are from Lisa Winky, Deborah Freiling, and Amy Reach. And I just thank them so much for sharing with us.
Most of you probably don't even know who I am. New here to this area, only been here maybe, 6 weeks. But we're so happy to be here. And to be honest with you, there was a testimony I was going to give, been praying about it all week. And just over the last half an hour, the Lord has really impressed upon me to change that testimony to this other. And so I want to share a scripture with you. Psalm 32:1 says, "Blessed is he whose transgression is forgiven, whose sin is covered." I don't know about you, but it seems like sin and evil is rearing its ugly head everywhere around this world right now, around every corner. And sin really attacked my family in a huge way just a year and a half ago. You may recall a story in the newspaper on the news about a Roman Catholic priest who was murdered in Northern California. That man was my brother, and he was murdered on January 1st, New Year's Day of 2014. And as I made my way to travel from Arizona at the time to the funeral to pick up my dad over here in Stateline, and had a lot of time to think and pray. And I knew one thing in my heart was I did not want to become bitter. I did not want to have this man who murdered my brother to have free rent in my head, you know. And the Lord really honored that process with me, and though I still grieve in different ways, I've been able, within that first week after his death, was able to forgive this man. Gary Bullock is his name. And the reason I'm able to do that is the Lord gave me a vision. You know, the Apostle Paul, when he was Saul, stood over Stephen, or watched as Stephen was being stoned. And the Lord put in my mind, just as the Apostle Paul and Stephen are going to spend an eternity talking to each other and talking to each other about how Jesus Christ changed their lives. Something maybe Stephen saw when he looked into the gates of heaven, I don't know. But that thought came to me, the Lord gave me that thought, that my brother, who led people into a spiritual life, could also, with Gary Bullock, the man who murdered him, spend an eternity talking to one another about how Jesus Christ changed their lives. And he also pointed out to me that, you know, I am no better than Gary Bullock. How many people have I murdered in my heart through my anger and my hatred? I am no better than Gary Bullock. I need a savior every much as does Gary Bullock. I pray that you will pray for this man, that he will give his life to the Lord. He was arrested the day after the murder. He's been in prison this whole time. The trial is to hopefully take place the end of this year. But he needs Jesus Christ every much as I do, every bit as much as I do. And so blessed is he whose transgression is forgiven, whose sin is covered. Yes, Gary Bullock did a really bad thing, but there's forgiveness for him as well as for me. And the Lord has forgiven me so much, so many things. I'm hoping that throughout the time that we are here that you'll get to hear a lot more of my testimony. For I lived a life that was very unbecoming, a lady and a Christian. But God pulled me out of that muck and mire, and I'm so very thankful. I'm so very thankful that he has forgiven my transgression. And how could I not forgive the transgression of others? Forgiveness is not always easy. There have been other things that I've had to learn to forgive in my life. But through God's help and through his word, that forgiveness can be given. And of course, the most important thing, if you're struggling with forgiving yourself, took me years, I tell you, took me years, but forgiving yourself is one of the biggest steps and can be the most freeing experience in your life. Thank you for allowing me to share this morning.
Thank you.
I'm not Deborah. I'm her mother, and I'm here to help coach her along.
Yeah. The thing is, if you don't mind, I'd like to have a quick word of prayer. Heavenly Father, we ask that your Holy Spirit would put your words in my mouth and that it will be of blessing to someone here today. We ask this in the name of Jesus Christ. Amen.
Amen.
God is so merciful and he's so powerful. And I was born and raised Seventh-day Adventist. Unfortunately, as a child, my father was a priester. He was a preacher, but he studied his way right out of believing in God. And he would get up front speaking, and then that night we'd go out to a Bruce Lee movie and go straight to the movies. You know, the double standard. And even as a child, it just totally, I could not get away from the church fast enough or farther than I wanted to from the church. And the thing is, the Lord, he never lets go of us. When you think, I'm just living in the world, it's okay. I'm going to just exist here until something changes, and then I won't have to worry about it.
In Riverside?
But when I lived in Riverside, and I would party all night, I'd go to the bars in Hollywood, and that was the scene, you know, work all day, play all night, sleep very little, get drunk, and the thing is, why I even survived that is a mystery. But the Lord didn't even let go of me for a moment, because there were prayers going up for me. And even when I was self-destructing, the Lord kept his hand on me. Boyfriends, had boyfriends. They were both connected with the mob. And, you know, how far down do you have to go down a certain road until you're at the bottom? I mean, for a year and a half, we used to contemplate going out and murdering people. I didn't like people. I didn't have any respect for people. I thought people were bumps on the road. I could not step over people faster or farther. But the Lord, he was with me. I was suicidal one night, got behind the car of a 68 Cougar, and it had a 351 motor, and I drove from Los Angeles, Hollywood, to Bakersfield, and I did it in 45 minutes. The car bottomed out at 125 miles an hour, and I was in fog. And the fog was so thick, I could barely see past the end of the hood. Lord didn't let me have an accident that night. Lord took me to Bakersfield in less than 45 minutes. The thing is, God was with me even when I didn't recognize that he was doing things for me. Working at theater, they knew I was raised Seventh-day Adventist because I wanted my Saturday nights off. Did I keep them because I believed? No. It was convenient for me, but then I would go and steal from these people that trusted me, steal from them blindly and have no compulsion about it. And I'm like, what?
It didn't matter.
Yeah, why does it matter? I mean, they have more than I do, so it doesn't matter. I'll help myself after all. But you know, the Lord, he always was talking. He was always saying, hey, this isn't, but it was in a whisper. And I'm like, well, I'm doing good. I can have all these jobs, and I'm all right. I'm fine. No, I wasn't fine. Planning to kill someone wasn't fine. What was fine was the Lord intercepting and having a police car on a street and not letting the murder take place. The Lord, He never took His eyes off me. He never did. And when I look back at the hypocrite that I was, when people thought I was a Seventh-day Adventist, obviously she believes in something. It was, I believed in nothing. But you know that I went to work at an animal shelter. My job was putting 70 to 80 animals to death each and every day. That was my job. And I was going to be permanent status there. But I had to leave because I was having a breakdown. I started dreaming for about a week after I made permanent status. I was loading up these chambers and I'd turn around just before I'd hit the button and I'd look and I'd see people. And that was where I thought, and I'm like, I'm losing it. But I valued animals far above people. I thought people were just evil. There was no use. There were just so many people. But then the Lord, he starts talking to me. He really starts putting people in my path that get me, hey, that's kind of different. That's kind of weird. But you know, I was independent. I had to be on top, and if I wasn't on top, I was scrambling to get up there. At, you know, martial arts for 3.5 years, breaking someone's neck was super easy. It was really hard not to have somebody come up behind you, tap you on the shoulder, and your reaction is that you want to turn around and snap them in two. You know, but you know, the thing is, the Lord, He started letting things happen, like the police car keeping from doing something, like the boyfriend that wanted to be a contract killer, and I was standing there right beside him. He ends up going out of state, and he's removed from me. And I'm knocked off my feet. And the Lord is like, hey, you know, you really need to listen. The Lord is coming back soon. He is real and alive. I didn't have any respect for a Bible, any respect for a prayer service. I mean, what good could prayer do? But you know what? When you start praying and the Lord starts answering, it doesn't have to be a big, long prayer. When you say, Lord, help me, He takes that. And you know, He comes in a mighty way. He comes in a tornado. I mean, it's just staggering. Then you pick up the Word of God and you start reading it, and it's a message straight to your heart. It's like it was put in there today for you to read. And this Word of God that was written thousands of years ago is as prevalent today as it was written that day. And it's more powerful to me because it's that old, and yet it was put in there as a message for me. It's all God breathed. He took away the desire to be a gamer. I would sit on a computer for 18 hours a day, and I was an addict. When I would go to sleep, I'd dream about doing Dungeons and Dragons or war, you know, games that were constantly wrapped up in. But I mean, the games, he took away that desire just like that. Am I almost done? He took away the desire to be a gambler. We lived in Nevada. We moved here. I hit 3 Royals the first 2 days I was here. And I couldn't lose at the 21 table. I thought, my goodness, why do I need any other job? The devil just opened all these traps, and I just went right through them. And then the Lord's like, hey, I'm still talking. I'm still talking to you. You know, the thing is, one day you were praying, and I just casually had a prayer with her. Yeah, Lord, please help mom with her gambling problem. I didn't think of myself as really having a gambling problem, even though I lived there. And that casual prayer for my mom that was including me, within a week, I had no more desires to go into a casino. I did not. All of a sudden, it was like, where are you going? Oh, it's a casino. I'm thinking, oh, it'd be fun to go. No, it's really not that much fun. And I'm like, well, if I have an extra $10, maybe I should do something else with it. Give it to someone who's hungry. I'm like, is it okay to throw a nickel away? It's only a nickel. But if someone is needing a nickel, I don't want to have to stand up in front of the Lord and say, I just had to throw my money away. It was required. You know, I got so much money and obviously I had to throw away some. No, that's a conversation I don't ever want to have with the Lord. And the Lord, He put us on this earth. He gave us the ability to be a witness. We are in a witnessing stage, each and every one of us. And each and every one of us, that don't think your neighbors aren't seeing you. Don't think, oh, nobody knows you go to church on Saturday. They are aware. And the thing is, you can never not be on stage. You are always a witness for something. And the thing of it is God has just introduced, and there's so many stories where He has moved and moved mountains. But I only have about 2 minutes more, so I will just say that the Lord's hand in my life is so powerful that when you start the morning, though, you've got to lay your plans before the Lord. And it's all right if the day turns out completely different, because it's the way that the Lord's letting the day unfold. You're falling and hurting your ankle. You know, it's okay, because the Lord is still in this place. And you can go to the hospital and be a witness for Him. This is how I smile when I'm hurting. You know, the Lord is in everything that we do.
He helps us love.
And He helps us love people. Now when you see people, they're not speed bumps. Now when you see people, you're my brother. You're my brother. You're my sister. I may not know your name, but you are family. And you can't see people as Christ died for you. He died for me. He made everything, and then He chose to do this. And that's why we have hope. And that's the thing. You know, if you pray about getting rid of your addictions, the Lord will answer.
Amen.
And praise God.
Good morning.
Good morning.
A taste of freedom. That was what you titled the sermon. So we learned from Lisa that she's got freedom of forgiveness. We learned from Deborah that she's got freedom from mayhem and gambling. And she's also got a freedom, did you notice? She's got a freedom to testify. I always appreciate Sandra and Deborah because they have such exuberance. They're always excited. And I think we need more of that. And if I was to title my little section, I guess it would be freedom of choice. Freedom of choice. My first taste of that freedom was, I was probably about 4 years old. And I don't see any here. Oh yes, there's one up here. What do they call those doodads on the wall? The
outlets.
Yeah, those little outlet gadgets. I noticed that when I was 4 years old. Those little doodads, and I couldn't figure out what they did. So, you know, with a four-year-old mind, I thought, well, it looks to me like there's something that sticks in them, right? Looks like they fit a butter knife to me. So I marched into the kitchen and I got my butter knife and I stuck it into the light outlet and I had a very illuminating experience. I was educated that day. Yes, I had a freedom of choice. And since that day, it has never stopped. Every day of our lives, you and I both have that freedom of choice. And I thank God I am an American. We've got a lot of problems in the U.S. And this week, we just heard a few of them from the Supreme Court on down. It only showed that we've got more problems coming. But I am still thankful that we have our freedoms in the United States and that I am an American. I also came across, I probably was about 14, 15, and I had another freedom of choice. My girlfriend asked me to come to a prayer meeting with her. You've got to be joking. That is the last place I wanted to be. But if it got me out of class for the rest of the day, I'd go anywhere with her. And I ended up going with her to that prayer meeting on a school week afternoon in a little evangelical church. And I had the choice to pray. And I remember the prayer that I had. Lord, my life is a mess. And if there's anything you can do to straighten me out, I sure wish you would. And the Lord answered that prayer. It was hard work for him. But he answered that prayer. And I came across a lot of other choices. Because I've learned through life that all it is, life is just a bunch of stepping stones of choice. Isn't that true? You already had several choices this morning, whether you would get up or not, whether you would come to church or not. And I see that all of us here made one choice in common. We got up and we came. Well, it has never stopped for us. Jesus said something to the disciples. In fact, it's in John chapter 6. That old chapter is really good, but it's toward the end of that chapter that I've thought many times of what Jesus said. He was telling the disciples, he said, I am bread, and you have to eat me, the bread of life. And I am drink indeed. And unless you eat my flesh and drink my blood, you don't have any part in the new kingdom. I am the Son of God. And if you want to be in the new earth, if you want to be with God, then you must choose to accept me as God's son. And of course, the disciples were going, man, these are hard sayings. I don't know. And there's just a text in verse 27, or 67, chapter 6, verse 67, it says, they walked with him no more. And then Jesus turned to his disciples and he asked them a question. And here is where you and I have this choice daily. The same question that Jesus asked his disciples, he is asking each of you here, now, the same question. Will you go away also? Are you going to walk away too? Now, because we're all sitting in church, none of us will ever walk away from God, right? We have a choice. Not just every day, but several times a day. And so I ask you, what will your choice be? God gives us that freedom. God has given me that freedom of choice every day of my Christian life. And it is a deep privilege. And he's given you that freedom. The question is, how will you choose? Will you have a choice where you can say, yes, I have that taste of freedom. I'm going to choose God. I'm going to choose to follow him no matter what. Or you can choose your drugs or your gambling or your mayhem or your unforgiveness or your selfishness. We have a whole bunch of choices. I would ask you to choose.
For our closing song, we're going to sing Amazing Grace all together. And if there's someone who'd like to stand up front and lead, I would be more than happy to see that. Would you like to do that, Lisa? I found out that Lisa can sing too, so.
So can you. Will it be on the screen?
Yes.
Okay. Shall we stand?
Through many days.
bow your heads with me for our prayer. Dear Father in heaven, we're so thankful that Jesus came and brought us freedom. Freedom from a dictator that we call Satan. Freedom from the oppression of guilt and low self-worth. From the bondage of addiction and known sin. From the poverty of empty works. Thank you for saving us, Jesus. In his dear name, amen.
Amen.